Savior. Amen. When I was a student at our St. Louis Seminary back in the 1980s, one of my professors told us about an inscription he saw on the front of the library of one of our famous American universities. The inscription on the library was a quotation of Jesus' words recorded in John chapter 8, and it read, "The truth will set you free." But I remember what our professor then told us. He said, this particular American university, many, many years ago, when this country was first founded, focused on the scriptures as the inspired word of God. But now he says that same university, which had that slogan on the front of its library, "The truth will set you free," that same university had not only strayed from Holy Scripture, but actually denied that Holy Scripture was the inspired word of God. In fact, he said that slogan was used by the university out of context. By the truth, they meant the modern enlightened mind that would lead us in new directions. That's what will set us free. But that's not what Jesus meant at all. Sadly, most universities today would have to add another inscription immediately after those words of Jesus. They would have to add a quote that would be the words of Pontius Pilate, found in John chapter 18. Remember what Pilate asked Jesus? He asked him, "What is truth?" What is truth? You know, that's the question that most universities and many people are asking today. It goes something like this. What is truth? I mean, there can't be one truth for all people. Oh, sure, some of us used to think that Holy Scripture was God's truth for all people, but now we know better. Holy Scripture is nothing more than the subjective opinions of ancient people, and our opinions today are just as valid. In fact, our opinions today are even more practical, because our opinions are suited for the needs of modern humans. So, what is truth? Truth is whatever works for you. My friends, we are a Lutheran congregation. We trace our roots back to Martin Luther and the Reformation. And the Reformation refers to an event that took place in Europe during the 16th century. At that time and place, God used a man by the name of Martin Luther to reform the church of his day, which had been misled by false teaching. What did Luther do? Luther used Holy Scripture to refute many ungodly errors. But the primary error was the evil idea that forgiveness of sin and eternal life was something that we sinners could earn and merit by our efforts. In other words, the Church of Luther's day was teaching that you had to do something to make yourself worthy of the salvation that Christ could provide for you. And unfortunately, we still find this evil error today, even among Lutherans. Many today think that people can make themselves worthy of God's love and worthy of His mercy by doing a few good deeds here and there. Many think that God will overlook those sins that we love to do and that we have no intention of giving up. That's right, He'll overlook them as long as we try to be good people in other areas of our lives. As though God weighs our good deeds and our bad deeds, and as long as our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, then He owes us one. However, Holy Scripture refutes this error and gives us the truth. What is the truth? Well, let's examine our gospel reading for today, and we'll find out. John 8, verse 31 reads, "To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Did you hear that? First, John tells us that the Jews had believed in Jesus, but not anymore. Why? Because they despised what he was teaching about all of us being sinners and that we're saved by God's grace and his grace alone. That threatened them because they had convinced themselves they were saved because of who they are and what they did. That teaching of Jesus threatened them because they had convinced themselves they were better than others. Of course, they didn't think they were rejecting God's word. They thought they were faithful children of God. But they were actually rejecting the truth. They were actually trusting their own evil opinions while deluding themselves into thinking that they were being faithful to God's word. We see that a lot today. There are many people who think they are religious, think they are doing God's will, when in reality they're only following their own opinions. So what was their evil opinion? They believed that deep down they were good people. Whatever sins they may have acknowledged, they thought those sins were far outweighed by their good deeds. You see, they did their best to obey God's will, but this was their basis for thinking that God owed them salvation. They thought they were children of God, but Jesus tells them the truth. They were really children of the devil. The same devil who said to Adam and Eve, "Did God really say?" Now listen to these words of Jesus recorded in John 8, verse 37. Jesus says, "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word." Did you hear that? They were physical descendants of Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. How ironic. They took pride in that fact, and yet here Jesus is pointing out that they have actually rejected the faith of Abraham by rejecting Jesus and his word. You see, Abraham knew he was a sinner, and he knew he was saved because of the descendant that would come from him, that descendant being Jesus, the very Son of God. We heard in our epistle reading how the gospel was proclaimed in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, pointing ahead to the Messiah who would lay down his life for all sinners. But unfortunately, these Jews in Jesus' day who thought they were so godly and so religious, by rejecting Jesus, they were rejecting the Savior who had come to them through their ancestor Abraham. By denying their own sin, they were denying the very God they claimed to follow. Listen to what John writes about this in his first epistle. We've heard these words before in our liturgy. In 1 John chapter 1 it reads, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." You know, even though some people grow up in the Lutheran church their whole lives, the devil can do his best to still get us to believe what is false. Recently, I visited with someone who was elderly, and that person was saying, "I hope I go to heaven when I die. I think I will, because I'm a pretty good person after all." My friends, we need to be set free by the truth of God's word. You see, God's word exposes the fact that we are all sinners who deserve only God's wrath, and there's nothing we can do about it. If we try to deny our sin or excuse it, if we try to manipulate God and boast in his presence that our good works somehow obligate him to forgive us, If that's our attitude, then we simply add to our guilt all the more. Not only does our self-righteousness offend God, but it keeps us from loving each other the way God intends. You see, if we are focused on ourselves, then we're tempted to think, well, other people, they're more sinful than I am. They don't deserve my love or respect. I'm afraid the Jews in Jesus' day refused to hear the truth of God's word, and because of that, they were enslaved. Enslaved by their own sinful opinions. Many in Luther's day refused to hear the truth of God's word. They too were enslaved by their sinful opinions. And many people today refuse to hear the truth of God's word. In fact, in many ways, things are worse today than they were in Luther's day. For example, at least in Luther's day, most people respected Holy Scripture. It's just that they added human opinions in addition to Holy Scripture. But today, Scripture itself is rejected and mocked as being nothing more than human opinion, and outdated human opinion at that. And what's really amazing is that this mockery and rejection of Holy Scripture is even happening among those who claim the name Christian. We can find false teaching in mainline church bodies today that would have shocked the church in Luther's day. For example, I could show you books from my office written by leaders in mainline church bodies. These leaders deny core teachings of the Christian faith and yet are honored as Christian pastors in their church bodies. They deny creation and say that we simply evolved from inorganic matter. They deny the miracles witnessed in Holy Scripture. They deny that Jesus himself is God. They deny that he died for our sins. They deny that he rose from the dead. In mainline church bodies today, we see clear moral teachings of Scripture clearly rejected. The very things that people used to call sin are now not only tolerated, but even affirmed. How did people who claim the name Christian stray so far? My friends, when we consider this, our response, first of all, has to be humility and repentance. We may belong to a church body that strives to be faithful to God's word, but the worst thing we could do is respond to the false teaching around us by becoming self-righteous Pharisees. Yes, there is false teaching going on around us, but our response to that must be, except by the grace of God, there go I. We are no better than anybody else. We too are sinners. In fact, every one of us here today, including me, we have all compromised God's word in more ways than we can imagine, by the way that we think, by the way that we speak, by the way that we live, by the way that we treat one another. We come here and worship God, and then the way we treat each other at home during the week mocks what we've done here on Sunday morning. We too are guilty. We too need to be set free. We can be thankful that we are in a church body that strives to be faithful to God's word. But once again, being faithful to God's word is the result of God's grace and his grace alone. For we too could just as easily fall away. We need to remember and rejoice in the fact that we're free because Jesus has set us free. All the times that we have fallen short of God's will, we can bring those sins and shortcomings to Jesus and know that his death on the cross sets us free. You can stand before God today with all the ways that you sinned, knowing that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight and free from the slavery of your rebellion because of Jesus and all that he's done for you. Once you realize that you are set free by Jesus and Jesus alone, once you realize that His Word is the foundation for what you believe and how you live, then you are truly free. So by God's grace, I pray that those who strive to be faithful Christians by God's grace can continue the Reformation still today. You see, the Reformation is not some mere historical event in the past. It's something that must continue in every generation. We are called to speak God's word faithfully in love in our generation to rescue those who are being misled by the lies of the evil one. One way we can do this is by remembering a wonderful slogan constantly uttered by one of the former presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Al Berry. He is now with the Lord Jesus, but when he was our president, he would often encourage our church body with this slogan. He would say, "Keep the message straight and get the message out." Let's take a look at those two statements briefly. First, we must keep God's message straight. We must never compromise the truth of God's Word. Of course, that assumes that we know what the truth of God's Word is. Therefore, we need to repent of the times that we have despised God's Word by doubting Holy Scripture or ignoring it. We must repent of the times that we have despised God's Word by failing to attend church or Bible class. We can confess these sins to God, but then rejoice in the fact that through Jesus, we are forgiven. Through Jesus, we are set free from the bondage of our sin and have the joy of living as His witnesses. That's right, as people who have been set free from sin, we're now free to learn from Jesus' word so that we might rejoice in our salvation and share it with others. That leads to the second part of Dr. Berry's statement. First, he said, we got to keep the message straight, but then he said, we must get the message out. You know, God has blessed our church body with faithful teaching and preaching. I have a very good friend in this town who's also a pastor. And when I first met him almost 5 years ago, when I first came here, he said, you know, your denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you have the greatest theology out there, but you do a lousy job of getting it out to people. And I agreed with him. We need to change. We need to get the message out. By the grace of God, I do the best I can to witness to people when I have the opportunity. But I can't do it alone. I must not do it alone. You share the mission of this congregation with me. In fact, as you take advantage of the opportunities to come to services and Bible classes where I can teach you and proclaim to you the Word of God, not only do I thereby comfort you, but I also equip you to be witnesses, faithful witnesses for Jesus in your home, in your neighborhood, at work, at school, in your community, wherever God may send you. We need to get the message out. In fact, a good way for us to remember this would be for each and every one of us to simply look at the bulletin every Sunday we come here, the front cover, and remember our mission statement. The mission of Concordia Lutheran Church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in its truth and purity. So we need to keep the message straight, and we need to get the message out. And some suggestions about how we can do that are listed right here. I encourage you to read through those and apply it to your own personal life. In closing, I want you to leave today realizing how blessed you are. We were born into this world as people completely enslaved by sin with no hope for all eternity. But our God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son into the world to live and die and rise again for us, that through faith in Him, we might be certain, absolutely certain, that we stand before God now as His forgiven and dearly loved children through faith in Jesus. On top of that, God has given us His holy and inspired Word so that we might know the truth about who God is, what He has done through history, and ultimately what He has done for our salvation through our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. The truth has set us free. So by God's grace, I pray that our congregation, our entire church body, will keep the message straight and get the message out. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds and